let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. No, come on now. You're not worn out. Let's give God high praise in the house. Hey, isn't God good? Isn't God good? Well, I want to take a minute, although they may be done already. Brother Reggie's ministering at a United Methodist church tonight. And Brother Jerry and Sister Sarah have gone with them because they have a Bible study connection in that church. I want us to pray for them right now that God would just rain down Holy Ghost in that place. Would you do that right now? Lord God, lay your hand on that place. Pour out that Holy Ghost in that house, oh God. We pray that you would do it in the name above every name, that you would pour out the Holy Ghost. Cause your name to be magnified there. Let the anointing of God rain down. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the touch of God be upon everybody that hears the word tonight. Do it in Jesus' name. Praise God. You know how those doors open up. Now, we are, why don't you be seated for a minute? We are very, very blessed to have missionaries in the house with us tonight. The Corbins and their son Stephen. And they are missionaries to Bangladesh, and they've been there for 15 years, and we appreciate our missionaries. Now, I want to take just a minute tonight, and I want to do an advertisement. I want to do an advertisement for Launch Into the Deep. Not the offering, but the lifestyle. John, give us Psalms 107 and verse 23. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to launch. Everyone say, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. You have to launch. You have to go. I hear that affirming rumble. I hear an amen in the heavenlies. My God. Time to launch. Now, we do a Launch Into the Deep offering every month, and we just did that tonight. That's what the boat means out in the foyer. And it's to cover all kinds of things like what we're going to build and what direction we're going to take and all that. But somebody walked up this morning and gave me about a five-page word from the Lord that she had gotten in prayer. And she was just trembling under the power of it. And I appreciate it so very much. And the Lord was saying things to the effect that he's going to take you where he promised to take you. And he's going to open up the blessings and lead you into the land that he spoke to you of. He said, but you need to pray. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Now, there's outrageous prayer going on here every Tuesday night. There's a prayer meeting here every Monday night. We have pretty good prayer in regular services. But why don't you say we launch out into prayer? Anybody ready for revival? I mean, are you ready to stand on what God's already given you and jack it up to the next level? Are you ready to stand on what you've already seen and say, God, let's see some more? Untie those ropes. Lift up those sails. I'm sorry, I don't know the sailing language. But let's launch. Let's launch in prayer. Somebody dig in a little bit in the mornings. Somebody on the way to work, just turn the radio off and just talk in tongues all the way to work. Somebody, when you get on the job, walk in and say, I come in Jesus' name. And just launch. Launch into the job. Launch into your neighborhood. When you drive into your neighborhood tonight, say, I take dominion over this place by the name of Jesus and by the power of the word of God. Well, praise God. Everybody say launch. And we want to launch out into the deep. And they that launch out in ships, they that go down into the sea in ships, they see the wonders of the Lord. If you don't go, you never try. Now, listen to me. Brother Cody Marks is starting next Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'm doing this tonight because we're not going to have a Wednesday night between now and then. We've got children's revival Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I'm glad about it. And we're going to have a wonderful time. And the kids, the little ones, are going to all receive the Holy Ghost before they ever need it. They're going to get it. And we're really excited about all that. But tonight, I want to tell you, Wednesday night, we're going to have flyers here for Brother Marks. And there are ARC flyers out there. But tonight, in Sister Shauna, do we have those generic flyers? No, they're not ready. Those flyers and Cody Marks flyers are going to be ready for Wednesday. So sometime this week, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, come up, and I want you to get a handful of tracks, those flyers that we're making, the generic ones. And I've got about 1,500 business cards up here tonight with the map of the church and the website and all that. And what I want you to do is just jack it up to the next level. I mean, everybody that you talk to, have a card to give them, have a track to give them, and just say, you got to come see. You got to come here. You got to come experience what I'll just tell you this. I'm so impressed with the fact that if we'll fill this house with empty vessels, God will fill all of the empty vessels. In an atmosphere like we've had here tonight already, if we'd have had 50 people here tonight that needed the Holy Ghost, they would have gotten it. Praise God. There's nothing magical about Brother Marks. He's a wonderful evangelist. But when the evangelist comes, the church has to be ready. Got to be ready in prayer. So let's launch out in prayer. All right? I want you to just make a commitment right now. And we're not going to write it down. I'm not going to take names and numbers and all that. But I want you to commit yourself to some extra prayer right now. Just offer it up to God as a sacrifice. Some time above and beyond what you normally do. Just now you got to name a time and a place. You got to be specific or you won't do it. Praise God. Praise God. Just offer it up to God right now. This is what I'm going to do this week and every week of revival. Every week of revival, I'm going to make it a lifestyle. I'm launching out in prayer. And also, in addition to our prayer, I want you to begin right now to make a strategy about what you're going to do. If it's just as simple as I'm going to keep cards in my pocket. Every time I buy a hamburger, somebody's getting a card. Every time I buy a jug of milk, somebody's getting a card. But I want you to go a little beyond that. How many of you are in Walmart at least once a week? Okay, you know, that's a great, great ground for revival right there. If when you walk in Walmart, you just take five of these little cards, and as you're making your way, it's a half a mile back to the milk aisle. You pass 150 people on the way back there. And stop, you see somebody. I go late at night, so I'm always in the middle of people stocking shelves and stuff. And I just stop and talk to them. And they're working, they don't care. And I'm there on business. I'm buying stuff. So I'm not soliciting much. So I just, you know, you're walking through there. You make eye contact with people. And they seem to be nice. And you feel the little bump. You give them a card. And just tell yourself, I'm not leaving Walmart until I give out five of these cards and invite five people to church. Now, I don't know if you think this is cheesy or what. But God's about to come. And there's some people that need the Holy Ghost in this city. And we've got to get it jacked up to the next level. Come on. If we'll get them in the house, God will fill them with the Holy Ghost. Now, let me tell you what happens there. As you get more intense in your prayer, and as you get more intense in your witness, there's an anointing that increases in intensity. And that is, it's like that tide that lifts all the ships. There's a redemptive lift that begins to move in everybody. When revival moves in this altar, everybody gets blessed. When revival moves in this house, every house is blessed. Do you believe that? Revival is the answer to most everything that's wrong in your life right now. Now, you may not even understand what I just told you, but I'm just telling you, a good move of God and revival is about the answer to almost everything that's going on in your life right now. But you can't be passive. You can't say, well, I'll kind of watch it until it happens, and then I'll get on board. Come on, be a part of this. Let me tell you something. I am so impressed with the fact that there's a John Wolfram in this city who will find one of those little tiny classified ads, and somebody throws it away out of his dorm or his apartment where he's bunked up with a bunch of Navy SEALs, and he's out in the dumpster in the back of the alley, and he's digging through the dumpster like a wild man. And he's home from two tours in Vietnam, and he's seen all the world he wants to see, and he knows he needs God, and God stopped him. He had a 9mm against his head on a street in Saigon, and God said, if you'll go home, I've got something for you. And that little bitty piece of paper turned out to be the answer. It had an invitation to revival at a United Pentecostal church. He tore that dumpster apart, and he found that little piece of paper again, and he went, and then Tom Bracken went, and the guy that followed them became the pastor of the church. About six of those guys off that SEAL team got the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody say, one little piece of paper. Come on now. I know this Americanitis is all over us. I know you're encumbered with a lot of different things. And I know about the pressure of this world. But this is the business of the kingdom of God. I'm just asking you, let's step it up to the next level. You'll love the results. There's a kid that enrolled in the early 70s or late 60s at Ruston, Louisiana Tech in Ruston. And he had a roommate that was this big old gangly country boy from Vidalia or Faraday, Louisiana, and had knobby knees, and all he wore was shorts, and that's it. Didn't wear shoes, didn't wear shirts. And his roommate invited him to church and kept inviting him to church and kept inviting him to church. And finally, just to make the kid be quiet, he came to church. And Morrell Cornwell got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name, and started coming to that little country church in his shorts with no shirt and no shoes. It was the 60s. But tonight there's this phenomenal apostolic church in Wichita, Kansas. And my life and your life has been touched by Brother Cornwell's ministry. And it was just one kid that kept saying, come go to church with me. Come go to church with me. Come go to church with me. Come go to church. There's a Morrell Cornwell in our city. And there's a lot of other people, beautiful people in the kingdom of God that you've never heard of, you've never met, but they've got a counterpart in this city. Sweet brothers and sisters who are going to be born into the kingdom because somebody says, come go to church with me. Come on, come go to church with me. Praise. Practice on your neighbor right now. Just tell them, come go to church with me. Come. Tell them, come see what God's doing. God's doing great things. Come see what God's doing. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right, we're going to launch. All hands on deck. Everybody that wants to see a move of God, like, we have pretty good church here at New Life. We've had pretty good revival. We've had 80 or so get the Holy Ghost and get baptized already this year. But that's not nearly enough. That's not nearly it. I believe we can have that 80 again in one revival here. Who wants to shake a city for the kingdom of God? My God. All right, so the tracks and the flyers are not in yet, so I brought my own private stock of cards, and I'd like for you to get some, and just kind of indiscriminately pass them out, you know, just kind of invite somebody to the house of God, you know, cast your bread on the waters, because you don't know what it's gonna do. I'll tell you this. Somebody got a track back in the 70s in New Orleans. And they took a look at that and they said, piece of junk. Threw it in the gutter in a street in New Orleans. And there was this sometime part-time drunk down the same street. And for some reason, I don't know if he thought it was money or what, he picked it up out of the gutter and he opened that track and he read it. And he made his way to Brother Cupid's church on Dergenois Street in New Orleans. And heard the gospel and believed the message and responded to God. And people all over this fellowship were blessed by Brother Danny Brown singing, "I have hope when trouble comes my way." And there is a great church in New Orleans tonight that was birthed by the passion of Brother Danny Brown. You know what he found? He found a track in the gutter that somebody else didn't want. Come on, church. Just do your job. Herein is your Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. You want to glorify God? Win somebody to God. Bring somebody to the house. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray right now. God will help us anoint our efforts. Cause us to be fruitful. Help us, mighty God. God, in this city right now, we pray that you would begin to prepare their hearts. Stir them, draw them, bring them into this house. Fill them with the Holy Ghost, oh God. Direct our paths, order our steps to give the track to that right person. We pray that you would lead us to the Cornelius in this city. Lead us to the Apollos in this city. Lead us, oh God, to that eunuch that is so hungry for the word, but he doesn't understand what he's reading. Lead us to them, oh God. Cause us, God, to be effective in your vineyard. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Brother Corbin, Sister Corbin, Stephen, come do your thing. Whatever you do is going to be good. This is a revival church. We're with you. Let's clap our hands and lift a voice for praise for our missionaries tonight.
Can we do it unto the Lord tonight? Can we praise him? Hallelujah. We exalt you. We extol you. We magnify you, Jesus. You're worthy of all praise. You're worthy to be glorified, Jesus. We lift up your name because your name is high and lifted up, Lord Jesus. It is exalted above the heavens, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We extol you. We magnify you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Jesus, we are bragging about you, Jesus, tonight. God, you've been so good. Amen, amen. How many know that the Lord's been good to you tonight? Amen. Would you just lift your hands tonight? Amen. Talk to him and say, thank you, Jesus, for being good to me, Jesus. You were good to me when I didn't deserve to be good to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord for the opportunity, amen, to be with you tonight. Amen, to worship the Lord. Amen. You may be seated tonight. In a few moments here, we're going to get into the word of the Lord. We consider it an honor and a privilege to be with you here tonight. I believe we are in a worshiping church. Amen. I believe that we are in a worshiping church. Amen. And you have to forgive me if I'm like a deer in the headlights initially there tonight coming in here, because not all of the churches that we visit in this great fellowship worship like that. But I believe that, amen, that God inhabits the praises of his people, amen. And if you've been free, amen, if you've been set free, then that's why we worship like we worship. Amen. That's why we spin. That's why we do backflips. Man, I wish that I could do that. Amen. I saw that brother doing backflips and front flips and side flips and everywhere else flips. I was thinking to myself, I better tell my son, son, if I do that, that'll hurt me. Amen. But it's so good to worship the Lord. Amen. I kind of feel like tonight that God has simply allowed us to tag on to what he is doing. Amen. And I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt, and you'll hear this in the message tonight, I believe that we are living in the most critical time that the church has ever lived. I believe that we are living in the most crucial time that the church has ever existed. Amen. But having said that, I also believe that we are living in the greatest time that the church has ever lived. I believe we are living in the most apostolic time that the church has ever lived in. I don't know if you believe that tonight, amen. I'm not looking for a falling away. I'm looking, amen. God, what can you do in Birmingham, God? God, what can you do in my city, amen? God, what can you do on my street, God? God, what can you do in my house, God? Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I believe just a few years ago, God had been speaking to me and been dealing with me and telling me, I want to take you to another level in the Holy Ghost. I want to take you to another level of apostolic power and authority. And I simply said, God, that's what I want. Amen. But I found out, amen, that to launch out into the deep, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Amen. Your pastor's talking about, there has to come an effort. Amen. It just can't be God. God bless us, give us souls. Amen. It can't be just us. And can I tell you, I believe in prayer. Amen. But prayer alone, amen, doesn't get the job done. Amen. I'm committed to prayer. And I committed to God as your pastor was speaking, God, I will pray more every day. I will do my part, God. I will pray. I will seek your face. But I believe that there is a world out there that is lost and dying without Jesus Christ. And if we'll be the hands of Jesus Christ, if we don't care what we're reaching into, amen, and we're not concerned about what people think about us, amen, we'll see people reached by the power of the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. And through our efforts, amen, that will literally blow your mind, amen. I want God to move, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Stand with me if you would. I want to hasten to go to the word of the Lord, amen, tonight. We are here, of course, as missionaries representing Bangladesh, a nation of 150 million people, and about the size of the state of Alabama, believe it or not. Amen. I don't know how many Alabama have, but we have about 150 million. We have 5 million in Alabama. Am I right? About 5 million. We have about 150 million in a nation about the size of Alabama. We are facing an incredible crisis with our busting population, swelling population, a nation where 83% of the population used to be Muslim in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of y'all miss that. Amen. Used to be Muslim in the name of Jesus Christ. Used to be Hindu. Amen. Amen. Used to be Buddhist. Amen. You see, I refuse to look at it. You know, people say, well, it's a closed nation. It's a Muslim nation. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. There ain't no nation closed, no city closed, no home door closed. There ain't nobody too hard for God to reach, amen. If we'll make up our mind that one soul is worth it all, amen, and we'll begin to pray and we begin to fast and begin to claw and begin to kick the devil's teeth down his throat, amen. That's just me, amen. We'll see them reached. And when we have seen tremendous revival in Bangladesh, I'm going to put this little infomercial in here. We need your support. Amen. Sending us back to Bangladesh. Amen. We are here, and the churches are growing, busting at the seams literally in Bangladesh. We need to get back to Bangladesh as quickly as possible. Amen. We need you to pray us back, and we need you to give us back. Amen. To Bangladesh by partnering with the work of the Lord in Bangladesh. Amen. By filling out one of these yellow slips as a church or as individuals, however this church does. If you fill it out as an individual, would you give it to Pastor Sutton tonight? Amen. And I think normally most all PIMs go through the churches. Amen. But we appreciate you here in North America for your giving. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord, if you would, tonight. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18 through 25. Then I'm going to ask that you remain standing for a few more moments after that as we read the book of Acts chapter 17, verse number 1 through 6. Amen. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for your worship unto the Lord and making us feel at home. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18 through 25 states these words. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Verse number 21 says this, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 25 again says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There's just something about the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 17, verse number 1 through 6 states these words. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took them unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Now let us step back 2,000 years ago and use present day lingo and say this. These that have turned Birmingham upside down are come hither also. I don't know if you caught that. Amen, 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 amen. Let the world say of you, amen, apostolics, amen, of this great church, New Life, I believe it is. Am I right? New Life, amen. Let the world, and not you or me, but let them say, those that have turned the world upside down, they're here, amen. Everybody say, we're here in Jesus' name. Can you shout it out again? We are here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. God, we love you. We praise you. We exalt you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit and your power in our lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We exalt you because, number one, you're worthy of it. And God, we pray tonight, God, that you would anoint our minds with your spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. God, cause a fire of evangelism to burn within us. God, may an ignited fire of personal evangelism, Lord Jesus. Not just corporate, God, but personal evangelism be lit within our bosom tonight, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. And we'll forever give you the glory and the praise. And the church says, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing as you have. Amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, verse number 18 through 25, and I am hastening to what God has spoken to me tonight. But in my haste, I do not want to miss what I have felt from the Lord in the last couple days for this church. But in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, we are seeing the angel of the Lord. He comes and he begins to speak to Joseph in a dream. Because remembering back some hundreds and hundreds of years prior to this event, amen, it was prophesied. Matter of fact, in the Garden of Eden, it was prophesied of the Messiah who would come. The one, amen, hallelujah, who would give his all so that his all, amen, might be saved, amen. And we find as the Jewish, amen, faithful believers and followers, and as those that, amen, they were compelled, and they not only were compelled to, but those that love to fulfill the law of Moses, they begin, or something began within them thousands of years prior to this event. And that was an expectation of the Messiah who was to come, or an expectation of the Savior who was to come. They expected him to be born in the royal lineage of David, but in particular, and he was, amen, but in particular with a purple vesture on and a royal crown upon his head, and a silver or gold tongue or spoon upon his tongue, amen. But they did not find Jesus in that state, amen. I'm reminded of the song that says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Jesus, who was the King of Kings and is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, chose to be born in a little stable, amen, in a little cave, you can say, in a damp and in a cool and in a cold, wet place was Jesus born. There was no palace. There was no marble on the floors. It was not lined. The pillars were not lined with gold and inlay and all of that. But it was a simple, simple place, amen, that Jesus was born. But before his birth, as Joseph begins to think very deeply upon this occasion and this event that had transpired in Mary's womb, he was moved with shame, and he was moved with the thoughts of what will my community think about this. Having come from the Asian countries and being in the Middle East at times, amen, and knowing and understanding the culture and the mindset of the Jews and of the Arabians, it would be one of the most horrible things for a young teenage girl outside of wedlock to be pregnant. It's not like here in America, amen, and I'm not going to preach about that tonight, amen. But it would be a horrible, horrible thing. And so Joseph begins to think in his mind, how am I going to get away from being tagged by this shame? How am I going to get away from the shunning that would be definitely to come? And he's thinking on these things, and the angel begins to speak to him. And the angel says to him, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, friend of mine, he's not just another Jewish baby boy born in a manger. He's not just a man, hallelujah, another boy born into another family, amen. But his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, amen. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, it was prophesied that he would come. And there the wise men gazed upon him. They looked in his eyes. I wonder tonight if God would allow us to step back into time. And as we, amen, if we could just be those wise men or those shepherds, amen. And if we could just gaze into the eyes of Jesus, I wonder what we would have said, amen, to him today. But this Jesus who was born in a manger, amen, was destined, amen, not just to heal the sick and cause the lame to walk and the blind to see, but he was destined to one day, amen, to carry a cross upon his shoulders, amen, and to walk up the cruel road, amen, known as a Via Dolorosa, amen, to Calvary, amen. It was this Jesus who was just a baby born in a manger that one day, amen, would look out upon the masses who just an hour or so prior to this had ridiculed him, had mocked him, had spit on him and said, prophesy who hit you. It was the same Jesus that was born in a manger that would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see why? Why? Because what was the purpose of Jesus Christ? Not just as the Almighty God manifest in flesh, but he became the propitiation, amen. He became the sacrifice. He became, amen, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. In Bangladesh, we sing this song, and it is this, Shemesh, Shemesh, Shehatormesh. Look at the Lamb, look at the Lamb, the slain Lamb of God, hallelujah. You see, the baby born in the manger was destined to one day, hallelujah, carry the cross and lay it all down so that you and I might come into a place like where we are tonight and say, thank God for the blood, hallelujah. Thank God for the blood, hallelujah. If it wasn't for that babe born in a manger, we wouldn't be able to say, he brought me out of a miry clay, hallelujah. He set my feet upon the rock to stay. The baby born in a manger must not be celebrated just on December 25th, amen. But he must be celebrated every day that you and I raise from our sleep and slumber and know that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. I thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. That blood was more powerful than the occult in my life. Hallelujah. I grew up in church, friend, but amen, I began to dabble with the occult and so on, and rock music. I thought I would be the next, amen, heavy metal rock star and so on, and I began to dabble with the occult and things like that. Had pentagrams all over the room of my Pentecostal home. Went to church on Wednesday night and Thursday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night, amen, but I was playing around with the devil, hallelujah. I want you to know that I had a visitation one early morning that shook me to my core, amen. And I begin to realize and understand that I'd been playing around with was one day coming for me. Friend of mine, the blood of Jesus is stronger than the occult, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God I've been redeemed and I've been set free, amen. Thank God for the power of Jesus Christ, amen, that goes beyond the walls and goes beyond the chains of the occult, hallelujah. I rebuke, hallelujah, the spirit of the occult that has gripped our world in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Oh, friend of mine, the blood of Jesus is stronger than any power that this world has to offer. Thank God for the blood. But you see, what it all comes down to, saints of God, tonight is you and I. As we celebrated Jesus, and we ran the aisles in this place tonight, and we jumped and we clapped and we spoke in tongues and we shouted and we spun, amen, and we flipped, amen. The reality is, friend of mine, is the baby that was born in the manger and the baby that gave his life's blood for you and I is also looking at you and I on this July the 6th, I believe it is, amen, 2008. And he is saying, amen, it's not enough to do this in the church house, amen. You see, if I run the aisles and I'm all for it, amen. If I run the aisles on Sunday night, amen, and my neighbor lost and dying and going to hell, amen, then my light, amen, that I have within me is a light that only glows in the church house. But the reality is this, that the same Jesus who moved us to run and the same Jesus who moved us to dance is the same Jesus who is saying, look out there in your community, amen. Look along your street, amen. You know their addresses and you know their names and they're lost and they're dying and they're going to hell, and what are you going to do about it? Amen. Amen. I'm not here to tickle your fancy, amen, tonight. I'm not here also to be crude or rude, but I'm also here to sound the trumpet of God in this world that we are living in, amen. In this world that we are living in, we are being faced with perplexing situations and perplexing times. It seems as if on the altar of political correctness, we have sacrificed all of our passion for the lost. And we have sacrificed and allowed our vision and our apostolic witness voice to be dimmed and diminished because we are worried about the acceptance of the people of this world. Can I tell you, who cares what the world says about you and I? When Jesus stands before us, not only with open arms tonight, but arms that are pointing out, amen, and they're pointing to the east, and they're pointing to the west, amen, and the north and the south, and they're saying, go bring them in, compel them to come that my house may be filled. I do not care, amen, about the acceptance of this world, because if you will go at the overtures, if you will be moved at the overtures of this world, if you will be moved, amen, and allow your witness voice to be tempered, amen, and tampered with as well, amen, by what people say in this world that we are living in, amen, you will find that slowly but surely your apostolic voice will begin to become distinguished. But these apostles who were said to have turned the world upside down, they didn't turn the world upside down with eloquent preaching, amen. They didn't, even though they were eloquent, amen, but they didn't turn the world upside down with their hermeneutical correctness, amen. They didn't turn the world upside down, amen, with all of their T's crossed and their I's dotted, amen. They turned the world upside down, number one, with the power of the name of Jesus Christ, and number two, with the name of Jesus Christ, and number three, with their fervent, burning passion, amen, to reach the lost no matter what the cost. Amen, amen, amen. I believe that God has ordained, amen, for this meeting tonight. Amen. Not because I'm the preacher, but because I believe I'm looking at some apostolic men and women of God that you've come to the place where you have said, God, we're just not gonna take it laying down anymore, God. We don't want to see our world go to hell, God. We want to reach them before it is too late. Amen. But I propose to you tonight, amen, that in our zeal to reach the lost, amen, what we must first get in touch with tonight, amen, is not only Jesus Christ, but secondly, what we must get in touch with tonight is that God would give us an ear that we might begin to hear the cry of the lost of the world that are around us. Amen. It's too quiet in the house of the Lord. God, give me an ear. Amen. Remember those times where we prayed and we said, God, let me have a vision of hell. Remember those times that we prayed, God, let me hear, amen, the voice. Let me hear, God, just for a moment, amen, the voices of hell. Amen. Let me know, God, amen. Just let me hear, Lord Jesus, that. But I'm here to tell you, saints of God, we don't have to pray, God, let me hear hell, or let me hear the cries of the people of hell. Amen. Because if you're hearing the cries of the people to hell, they're already there. Amen. They're already in eternity with torment. Amen. But I am praying, God, don't let me just hear the cries of the people of hell, but somehow let me hear the cries of that little boy. Amen. And that little girl. Amen. And that woman and that man along my street, God, that I passed by in Walmart, Pastor Sutton. Amen. That I didn't give the card to because I was ashamed and I was afraid and I was intimidated. I pray, God, every opportunity to witness that I do not take, haunt me with that voice, Jesus. Haunt me with that voice. Chase me down with that voice, Jesus Christ. That I will be moved to push away from the table. That I will be moved to pray hours upon hours in the wee hours of the morning and the night. That is my prayer. This is personal tonight. But my prayer is this, God, don't let me sleep through the night. Because if I'm sleeping and I don't rest, it's good. And we need it. But I'm praying, God, let me be sensitive to that voice. Let me hear that voice. What is that voice like tonight in your community? I don't know. Because I don't live on your street. But let me share with you a few voices. Just let me share these with you. I am going to leave this message on the altar. Amen. Tonight. Amen. Because it has pictures in it. But there's a picture on this message on the first page of a woman. You can see her. Her hands are up in the air. And there are tears flowing down her face. I want to hear this woman's cry. I want to know what she has to say. Amen. You know, I know the story behind this lady. In October of 2007, Bangladesh was forecasted to be hit by one of the most devastating hurricanes and cyclones that we had ever experienced in the last few years, at least. Some of you know about Bangladesh. You know that in 1971 or 1972, over 100,000 people lost their lives when a hurricane came ashore in Bangladesh. And the massive tidal surge swept them out to sea. I challenge you, if you don't believe what I just told you, go Google Bangladesh disasters, amen, and you'll find out that it is true. In 1992, amen, the year that we first went to Bangladesh, I believe it is, amen, another cyclone hit Bangladesh and it killed over 138,000 people in one fatal sweep, amen, lost their lives. It was not just the tornadoes. It was not just the winds, but it was a tidal surge. Can you imagine a 20-foot wall coming your way and you ain't got nowhere to go and there's no way out? People said to us that were there, they said, Brother Corbin, we saw bodies floating in the water. We saw Royal Bengal tigers' bodies as well, because that's where they're from. They said they were floating in the streets amongst the hundreds of thousands of dead, bloated bodies. And in the October of 2007, this event took place as well in Bangladesh. I got the news a little bit late, amen. I received a call. And it stated that we were about to be hit by this cyclone. I began to pray. And I said, God, somehow spare us. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, please spare us. And they said that it would hit, amen, an area where we had to have tremendous revival. And where we have over 20, 25 churches there. They said there will be 15 to 20 foot tall tidal surges that will sweep ashore. And I said, God, if this does happen, there will be a tremendous amount of fatalities. And we begin to pray and we begin to seek the face of God. The winds came and Hurricane Center swept ashore with its 15 to 20 foot tall tidal surges. churches. The waves came, amen, and swept thousands of people out to shore, out to the ocean. Over, they say, maybe 15,000 people lost their lives in Hurricane Sidra's disastrous wake, amen. And in the middle of all of this, finally we got report from Bangladesh, and it was simply this. Brother Corbin, over 2,000 of our church members are rendered homeless right now. Amen. 83 to 87 families had lost everything that they owned. Amen. And there were 15,000 people or so that had lost their lives. This is one of those women. And the reason her hands are in the air, amen, the reason that she is crying in despair is she lost her everything. Her husband, her sons, her daughters, they all were killed in Hurricane Sidra. And there she is, amen, all by herself. I want this woman to talk to me. I want God to speak to me, amen, through this woman, amen. I want to hear what she has to say. And I would imagine tonight, amen, New Life, that she would be saying, Brother Corbin, amen, you have got to reach my people with everything that you got, amen. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed, amen. I just wish that you would have came and knocked on my door. I wish that your people, amen, when I say your people, I mean the body of Christ in Bangladesh. I wish somehow, some way, somebody would have came before it was too late. I'm faced with that every day, saints. Not just me, but the church. I thank God that none of our people lost their lives. That is by the grace and the mercy of God. They're all back in their homes thanks to Compassion Services International. Amen. And thanks to you for giving. Thank you for supporting, amen. People that you didn't know, people that you have never shook hands with, people that you have never hugged, amen. But these are some of those people that I'm talking to you about tonight, amen, that were impacted because of your giving. On the other page, there's another small picture of a man, a young man. He's carrying in his arms what looks like his grandfather or so. His grandfather's body is limp, amen. I do not know all of his story, but all that I know is, God, if you're ever going to speak to me, God, speak to me through these people, amen. Speak to me through this man and this woman, God. Speak to me, Lord God, through them before it is too late and they die and they spend eternity in hell. I know we're not shouting right now, but this is real. This is where the rubber meets the road. Because when all is said and done, amen, when we enter into those pearly gates and when we see Jesus face to face, I wonder, and I know that there will be no tears in heaven, but I wonder if he'd allow us to step to the portals of heaven. And amen, if he would allow us to have a panoramic understanding and a panoramic view, amen, of the world that was lost. And I wonder if he would just allow us for a moment. And I know that this goes against the doctrine of the Bible, amen. But if he would just do it, amen. If he would allow us to see, amen, what could have been, amen, instead of what is, amen. If he would allow us, amen, to see beyond, amen, what we saw into the kingdom of God. And allow us to see what could have been a part of the kingdom of God. Or better yet, the masses that could have been the part of the kingdom of God that were never. I stand before God and I stand before you. And I wish the presentation could have been showed tonight, but it must not be the will of the Lord. But in that presentation, you'll see a picture of a little boy with a little black shirt on, and he's got his hand to his mouth. But you don't know is that little boy is from the streets of Calcutta. Calcutta, a city, an ancient city that was dedicated and consecrated to the Hindu little G demon god by the name of Kali, who is a goddess of fear. Thus it's given the name Calcutta for Kali. This little boy stands there on the streets, and I took his picture. But what you don't see behind the boy and his pictures out there in the photo album is his mother behind him, who is washing dishes or clothes in the broken tap and that is flowing there, connecting to the sewer water as well along the streets of Calcutta. I want that little boy to speak to me. Amen. God, please allow me to hear the voice of that little boy. And that little boy's voice would cry out, "Preacher, would you just stop your vehicle for a moment, preacher? Missionary, it's not just about preaching that crusade, missionary. It's about me. Here I am, and if you never stop, and if no one ever reaches me, I'm going to die, and I'm going to spend eternity in hell. Please, preacher, hear me." I know this is sobering, but it's real. And I believe that, I believe the church in Bangladesh is a worshiping church. We are just like you. We're just like you, amen, in that area. Amen. But there is also a time when we must grab a hold of the altar and say, "God, I worship you, but God, I mourn for the lost, God. I mourn for the lost, God. I cry for the lost, God." Because, and it's not just in Bangladesh, amen. It's right here in Birmingham. It's right here in your community, amen. The people that are lost without God. The mission field cannot be defined along the parameters of the home front and the foreign field, amen. The mission field is the whole world, amen. Amen, amen, amen. It's here where you are. And I must allow my heart to be broken tonight. I must allow the tears of God and sorrow and weeping and mourning, amen, to get a hold of me. You see, we have been taught that weeping and mourning is not what God wants us to do, amen. But can I tell you, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ, that if there never is a tear that is shed from our eyes concerning the lost of the world, then we are out of touch with God. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm not just a preacher ranting and raving, amen. If I am doing nothing, amen, but smiling, amen, when I walk out of those doors, amen, I'm going to celebrate it here. You better believe it. I'm going to dance. I'm going to worship. I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm going to run. I'm going to shout. I'm going to spin. I'm going to do all of these things. And I do those things, amen. But when I walk into a world, amen, outside of these four walls and outside of those glass doors, I am immediately confronted, amen, with the reality that there are over 6.6 billion people on the face of the earth that are still lost and still dying and still going to hell. What do you mean, Brother Corbin? We're not into condemnation. Neither am I. I'm just into having a burden for the lost, amen. I'm just into hearing the cries of the world, because if we never hear the cry of the world, we'll never reach the world, amen. If we're never concerned with the lost, amen. If we're never concerned with the crack addict, if we're never concerned with those that are in their cult like I was dabbling with, amen. Thank God that somebody heard my cry somewhere along the line, amen. Not just the Lord, amen, but somebody who said, "I care about you, James. I don't want to see you lost. Come back to God." What if we miss that chance tomorrow? And I want some of those cards. What if we miss that opportunity tomorrow? You never know who's slipping through your hands. What if Brother Ahmad's shortcut would have slipped through our hands? Brother Ahmad's shortcut is from the lowest of the lowest caste system in Bangladesh. In the Hindu world, he would be considered a nothing, a nobody, just a name and a face in the crowd. Nobody of any importance. He pedaled his little rickshaw. But as we rode on his rickshaw one day, as we were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in his village, I'll never forget that day that Brother Ahmad, amen, a rickshaw peddler, a nothing and a nobody in the eyes of this world, amen, he responded to the call. And he responded to the gospel. Why? Because it was not just a missionary sitting on the back of a rugged, rusty old rickshaw, amen, but others as well that simply said, the world says you're a nothing and a nobody, but there ain't no nobodies in the kingdom of God and in God's eyes, amen. And he was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. Broke the chains of Hinduism that were on him. And in December of 2005, over 800 Hindus were baptized in one day in his village and in his area. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't know who's in your hands. But if you're not listening to the cry, amen, of the world, you're going to miss something. That day that the 800 were baptized, they actually brought a list of 800, of 1,200 names that had been baptized that day. Four of our pastors were in four corners of the pond, amen, and they were baptizing hour upon hour upon hour. We have seen thousands receive the Holy Ghost now. The church that grew from six in the capital city in our apartment is now well over 12,000 apostolic believers, amen, in Bangladesh today, amen. In 2005, we said, God, we believe you for 5,000 new converts in 1 year. Can I tell you in the name of Jesus Christ that before this year is up, God is going to blow your vision out of the water, amen, with what he truly wants to do and what he shall do. I claim in the name of Jesus another 80 in 1 week in Jesus' name, amen. Some say, Brother Corbin, you're crazy, amen. But if we all will leave this place and make up our mind, God, I'm going to be listening somewhere, God, in my car, in the street, while I'm walking, God. I'm listening to somebody who needs you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll see this house filled. In 2005, you may be seated quickly, amen. I'm hastening. 2005, we said, God, we believe you for 5,000 new converts in 1 year. The church world said, you're out of your mind, you're crazy, it'll never happen. 25, 30 churches at that time, how in the world are you expecting to grow in a number of 5,000 in 1 year? But I made up my mind for God, amen. God gave us the vision, amen. Amen. We're going to be the feet and the hands, amen. We're going to accept everybody and anybody, amen. Let me tell you what the Bangladesh church is filled with. It's got people in that, and this is going to shock you. It may surprise you. It's got people in it that are murderers, amen. People in it that were ex-prostitutes, amen. The ex-prostitutes, but while they were being rehabilitated and maybe still in their craft, we're sending prayer requests to the capital city church, amen, and God began to move on their behalf. Let me tell you, I don't care who they are and where they come from, hallelujah. I don't care what the devil tags them with, amen. We want to see them saved, amen. Oh, let them say that church is filled with misfits, amen, because we don't want to fit here anyways, amen. We want to fit up there, hallelujah. And he says, come on in, hallelujah. You're welcome here. In 2005, the church grew by 4,891 in one single year. Hallelujah. Why? Because we made up our minds, God. We're going to listen to the cry of the world, God. The world matters to us, Jesus. The murderer matters to us. The crack addict matters to us. The prostitute matters to us. The homosexual matters to us. Amen. Can I tell you, if you're complaining about the people of the world and the condition that they are in, and you spend more time complaining than you do praying for them and reaching out to them, it's time to put up or shut up. Hallelujah. It's time to leave the complaints at the altar. Amen. And begin to reach out to them that are lost and dying without God. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm going quickly. Amen. Hallelujah. What if a brother Soma Sangma wasn't reached? Amen. I never forget Pastor Sutton, the time that I went to Pastor Sutton's, Pastor Somu's village. He was not Pastor Somu then. He was from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I'm going to close quickly here. He was from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Had not been baptized nor filled with the Holy Ghost. But when I saw him, God spoke to me and said, I've called him and I've chosen him. He belongs to me. And in my carnal mind, I would have said, God, but wait a minute. He don't have the Holy Ghost. And he ain't been baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I tell you, amen, the gospel is true and it's powerful. Amen. And you and I, if we'll begin to operate as if we believe that the gospel can change any life and transform any life, amen, then we'll see God do wonders in people that we least expect it. Pastor Somu Sangma, he got baptized in Jesus' name, received the Holy Ghost, amen. God has mightily used this pastor. This pastor passes out in what we call the boondocks, if you can say that. But we're about to complete for him a church that will seat over 500 people. Matter of fact, we need about $8,000, amen, to finish this building. And if God leaves it on your heart, man, it'd be great, amen. It's going to be a Bible school, administrative building there, and a church that will seat 500. But why will it seat 500? And what is this story about? You see, a young man that God said, he's mine. He belongs to me. We were just sensitive enough to God to simply say, God, we don't care what package he comes in, God. We just believe that you can transform his life. He got baptized and got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. This man is now a tremendous man of God, mightily used in the gifts of the Spirit. Seems that everybody that he lays hands on receives the Holy Ghost. Speaking in other tongues, falling out. Amen. But this is the same man who, when flood waters came through his area and he had to preach on the other side of the flood waters, took his Bangla Bible, amen, put it in his bag, a plastic bag like we'd get from Walmart, put it in his bag, and he said, I'm going to got to go to the other side. But pastor, you don't understand. There's flood waters stopping you from getting there. Pastor Shoma said, no, ain't nothing going to stop me from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Put his Bible in his plastic bag, tied it on the back of his neck, and dove in the water. And he told me in February, he said, Brother Corbin, he said it was a quarter of a mile one way, friend of mine. No exaggeration tonight, amen. He swam about a quarter of a mile to preach one or two messages to swim that quarter of a mile back again, amen. You see, what if somebody like Brother Somu's voice was not heard somewhere off out in the middle of the boondocks and the jungle somewhere on the Indian border there? What if we would have just been too busy? Last year, he said, Brother Corbin, he said, I want to go to a specific area. And he told me about the area. I knew about it. Prior to his arrival there, about a year and a half prior to him going there, Campus Crusade for Christ minister went there and showed the Jesus movie. The Muslims of the area became so enraged with him, they followed him home and they brutally killed him while he laid in his bed. What was his crime? He showed the Jesus movie. And our pastor said, Pastor Shoma said, Brother Corbin, I want to go to those people. But Brother Shoma, you're pastoring a thriving church, a growing church. You don't have to go there. But he said, no, I've got to go to those people. You see, what I believe with all my heart, Pastor Sutton, is there was something within Pastor Shoma saying, I hear them. I know that I've got to go. I cannot stop myself from going. And he went. And last year, almost at this time, I got the call. And it was this. It was Brother Shomu on the other end of the phone. He said, Brother Corbin, he said, the Muslims of the area are chasing me right now. They're chasing me out of town. And they're desiring, no doubt, to kill me. And he ran, and I didn't give him some super spiritual word. I just said, Pastor, run, man, run with all you got. I know some of you would have said, pointed your finger and said, you know, I command and all this. But when you're in the middle of the situation, I'd be saying, while I'm running, I command you in Jesus' name. I mean, I want to live, amen. I'm not all into that martyr stuff, amen. But Pastor Shomo, I said, run, Pastor, everything will be all right. We're going to pray for you, and God's going to put his angels around about you. And everything will be all right. Call me when you're out of town. And he's running, and I could hear that he's running. And I hit my knees at my office in the capital city. And I begin to pray. I begin to say, God, he is your called. He is your chosen, God. Put your angels around about him. And he's running with everything that he's got. And I believe that God dispatched angels that day. Amen. Because Brother Shomo about 10 minutes later called me. He said, Pastor, everything's okay. I'm all right. And I said, Pastor, I said, you know what you need to do, don't you? And within 1 month of running out of town with them trying to kill him, literally, he returned there again. And he baptized 44 ex-Muslims in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Hallelujah. And they've been receiving the Holy Ghost, Pastor Sutton, in that area where they had killed a man maybe 2 or 2.5 years earlier for showing the Jesus movie. I'm here to tell you, amen, I thank God for the voice of Shomo Shangma that ringed out that day in my mind, amen. And I said, God, I'll stop my schedule, Lord Jesus. I'll tear up my agenda, Jesus, Lord, for you to reach this one, amen, with your gospel. In the last 2 years, and I'm closing with this, I'm going to ask that we stand, because with you standing, it will hasten my close. Amen. But we begin to see God move in a tremendous way in Bangladesh. In the last 2 or so years, we have seen over 59 Trinitarian pastors baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Every one of them turned around and received the Holy Ghost. Amen. They begin to baptize their congregations in Jesus' name. Amen. And their congregations have been receiving the Holy Ghost, amen. Thousands today now in Bangladesh will stand before God, amen, on that great day, and they will say, amen, thank you, Jesus. And I pray that they'll turn to you and to me, amen, not for our glorification, but they'll turn and say, thank you. Thank you for hearing my voice. Thank you for caring. Thank you for not passing me by. And from a Walmart and from your job, someone's going to be reached. It was this year. We flew back to Dhaka, Bangladesh, which is our capital. 14 million people in our capital city. We flew back to the capital city to hold our annual general conference and then go on to Calcutta, India. By the way, we have a youth on a missions trip type program plan for 09. You young people, the greatest thing that you could ever do with your life, number one, is give your life to Jesus Christ with all you got. And number two, go on a missions trip, because it will radically change your outlook on soul winning. And so young people, maybe I'm out of order, maybe I'm not, but we'd love to have you. Amen. We're expecting 30 to 40 to 50 young people in the capital city. Amen. Amen. We want to inundate the city of Dhaka with the glory of the Lord. Amen. But along our journey, we're going to run into people like our ex-Hindu driver in Calcutta. In Dhaka, in our capital city, we saw in our conference 201 receive the Holy Ghost. 79 get baptized in Jesus' name. Flew on to Calcutta, India, which I said earlier is a city that is dedicated to Kali, the Hindu goddess of fear. As we got in the Jeep one day, our first day of the seminar and crusade, we were greeted by a friendly, smiling Hindu driver. Welcomed us, said pleasantries and so on, and we sat in his vehicle. And he drove us to the place where we were to have service. He didn't stay down with the vehicle, but he snuck in service. And he sat down at all of all places to sit down. He went right to the front and sat on the altar. And he watched the preacher preach. He doesn't know anything about Christianity, nothing about the Holy Ghost or anything like that. But he sits on the altar and intently watches the preacher. You see, in Hinduism, the poor are just what I said earlier, considered nothing. A rich man will not even sit at the same table with a man that is poorer than him. So this young man sits there and he hears the message, and we get back into his Jeep that afternoon and he looks at us, and I know this is going to sound comical, but he says, "You all are not normal. And I knew what he meant. But he said, "Brother," he said, "there's something that you people got that I don't have, and I want it." And I begin to share with our driver. I begin to share with him while he's driving down the road. I'm expecting him any moment to start speaking in tongues while he's driving. And I'm praying in my mind, "God, just keep his eyes open in Jesus' name." I'm just kidding. Amen. But I'm feeling God move on him. And I looked at him and I said, "Friend," I said, "I've come to tell you that God, the God of the heavens and the earth, wants to fill you with his Spirit today. And you can have the Holy Ghost. Better yet, I don't tell them you can have the Holy Ghost. I say you shall have the Holy Ghost before you leave this place today. None of this can," amen, "can initiates a spirit of doubt. But the word will," amen, "initiates faith in the house of the Lord." Amen. I said, "God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost." I said, "If you'll return back to that crusade ground this afternoon and this evening, and when you hear the altar call given, if you'll walk up to the front and just lift your hands, amen, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you will begin to speak in other tongues." Preaching went forth, amen, hallelujah. And when our ex-Hindu driver heard the altar call given, he got himself down to the altar. He was the first at the altar and lifted his hands, amen. Didn't even close his eyes, amen. Didn't even fall and cry for hours. But he just lifted his hands with his eyes wide open. And he said, "God, if you are who this preacher says that you are, and if you really desire to dwell in me, God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins." Hallelujah. "Wash me and cleanse me in your blood. And then, God, fill me with your Spirit." Folks, literally within seconds, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was speaking in another tongue. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Don't be so scheduled, amen, that you schedule God out of moving through you. Hallelujah. Where are they at, Jesus? All around you. And Jeremiah says this, 20, "And these altars are open." If you would say, "Brother Corbin, I want to be a soul winner. I want God to interrupt my life. I want to peruse of God. These altars are open. Would you kneel? Would you stand? Would you cry before God?" Amen. And say, "God, fill me with a passion." But as you come, the world through the scripture says this: the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Amen. Can you hear them tonight? They're crying. There's a brother Shomo out there. There's a driver out there. There's a brother Ahmad out there. Hallelujah. That needs God. That needs God. Can you hear them crying tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come and just say, "God, infuse me with burden, God. Infuse me not just with power, God, but infuse me with burden, God. Break my heart, God, for the lost, Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I give you my all, Jesus. I give you. Would you lift your hands to the Lord tonight? Just talk to him and make your consecration to him. God, I want to hear the cry of the lost. I want to do everything that I can to reach the lost. In Jesus' name. Don't leave without a burden. Hallelujah. Lay yours down and pick up God's tonight, God. Hallelujah, God.
Worship you, I live to worship.